Brother Gwynn really does love you. But I'm going to be mean today. I'm mad. Can you tell? I'm just really mad with the devil. I don't like him. But I'm going to talk about a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And you might not like me after this service, and again, you might still love me. But can I tell you something? You got to love me to get to heaven. Amen. Let me say that again. You got to love me to get to heaven. Amen? How many of you believe that, by the way? I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And we're going to go to verse 27th chapter, rather. And we're going to go to verse 25. Then we're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 7. And then we're going to close that out with Proverbs 6 and 16 through 19. Now, in Deuteronomy 27 and verse 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. In other words, one translation of that verse says that cursed is anyone who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. Then all the people shall say amen, 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 amen. Now, go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 7. Isaiah 59 and verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Think about that. Now, the translation of that verse says, their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood, and they pursue evil schemes, and acts of violence mark their ways. Then Proverbs chapter 6, I have several subtitles for messages under this, and I think this is an important chapter. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. I'm going to read all of them, and emphasis on verse 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Say this, God actually hates something. Amen. Hello? Amen. God actually can hate something. Can you believe that? It says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Are you ready for this? And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Bobby, if you can, bring verse 17 up and just leave it there for a while, if you would. I'd appreciate it. My message today is not one that I'm going to shout a whole lot about. It's not very evangelistic, but it is something that needs to be said on this first Sunday in May of 2019. My message for today is the shedding of innocent blood. Now, don't get alarmed. All these young people are on assignment with us this morning. Sister Redis told them they have to take notes. And Philip, he's good at taking notes. And Megan and all them. And if they take real good notes, they get a reward next Sunday from Sister Retta. So they're going to be doing that. But the word that I want to share with you today is a word straight from God. And that is number one, God forgives all sin. Let that sink in today. God forgives all sin. Come on now. Amen. Think about it. And can I tell you something? Murder is sin. Murder is sin. And guess what? Abortion, are you ready for this? Is murder. I believe that my text is a direct condemnation to all those professional abortionists that are out there. They're guilty of shedding innocent blood. I also believe that it's an open rebuke to any nation that condones murder of preborn infants and now babies outside the womb that survive abortion attempts can be now murdered. 13 times in the Word of God it talks about the shedding of innocent blood. And not one single time is God pleased. pleased with it. Amen? You need to understand that. The Bible declares that sin is a reproach to any nation. And first of all, abortion is a symptom of a sin-sick society that we're in. It's a form of violence and is being condoned by our nation that has become callous and indifferent to the value and the sacredness of human life. I believe the time has come for God's people to stand up and cry out against the sin-sick society that shows leniency towards murderers, robbers, rapists, and other vicious criminals, all the while working feverishly to pass laws to continue the murder of little babies. I repeat with the emphasis this morning that abortion is murder. Amen? God's word says in Exodus 20 and 13 that thou shalt not kill. In the original Hebrew, it says thou shalt not murder. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 19 that thou shalt do no murder. Amen. I'm convinced and I'm against every law that has ever been passed to legalize this act of abortion on demand. First of all, because I'm a Christian, and abortion is murder. If a person tells you that they are a Christian and they support abortion, you need to stand in their face. And are you ready for this? You need to tell them, you just told me a lie. Oh, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest today. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Amen. Do you not realize that Christians go around every day condoning the act of abortion? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. Think about it. They go around and condone it, and yet we're supposed to be Christ-like. Do you honestly believe that Jesus condones abortion? No. Secondly, because I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe that abortion will destroy our nation if it continues. It's the attitude behind the abortionist that troubles me. The lack of value for human life in our society today. So as a minister of the gospel, I hate to tell you this, but then again, I don't. I'm not going to compromise the word to make you happy. I'm going to preach, thus saith the word of God, and abortion, the shedding of innocent blood, is not pleasing to God. Amen. Thirdly, I'm against it because I'm a parent. And now I'm a proud grandpa. Amen. One day I'll be a great grandpa. That's scary. Amen. I hope that's not anytime soon. Amen. I'm enjoying having five, you know, but I want to tell you something. It angers me when I see parents and grandparents that say it's okay to have an abortion for convenience sake. Let me tell you something, friend. God is not pleased with that attitude. Amen. So if you accept this abortion thing and this teaching, this theology, if you want to call it that, I call it mythology because it's a myth that people think it's okay with God. I'm going to say some things that are not going to be popular from here on out. But I want to tell you there are four common known ways to kill the unborn. Now, some of these are going to sound kind of gruesome, but guess what? We're all adults here. These kids have learned more about stuff than they need to know at their young age, but I guarantee you they already know some of the stuff I'm going to share with them today. Number one, we have the suction type. A tube is inserted into the womb and creates a powerful vacuum, and it tears the fetus from the womb in a mass of blood and tissues that are removed from the mother, and the body is basically crushed and unrecognizable. Does that sound like a godly thing to you? No. That's evil at its best. The second method is when a spoon-shaped instrument with razor-sharp edges is inserted and is used, now are you ready for this, to cut up the baby and to separate it from the womb. Often the one performing the abortion has to insert his hand to crush the baby's skull to remove the baby. Then the attending nurse, this blew my mind when I read it, then the attending nurse has to reassemble the baby on a table next to the delivery chair and make sure that they have removed all the parts of the baby so that the mother will not get sick from parts being left on the inside. That don't sound too good either, does it? The third method of abortion is what we call the salt brine method. When I read this, it broke my heart. Where a large needle is inserted into the womb, and through this needle, most of the fluids are removed from the embryo all around it, and strong salt solution is injected into the mother. The mother and baby both experience excruciating pain. A few days later, after the baby has literally, are you ready for this, been pickled. Now, you country folk know what being pickled is. The baby is then delivered dead. Show me God in that. I can show you the devil in all of that, right? The fourth and final method that I researched was the method that's very familiar to this day. It's very similar to a C-section where a baby's removed by abdominal surgery. The baby's born alive and it's moving and struggling for air. And the doctors, when the baby comes out, they cut off the umbilical cord. They lay it on a table unattended, like it doesn't exist. And after several hours of thrashing for air and trying to survive, the baby dies from being left unattended. Friend, you can call it what you want. It's murder. Amen. We have all these people running for the presidency that say it's okay to kill a baby. I know this is going to sound ugly and mean. I kind of wish God would have let their mother abort them. We wouldn't be having this problem today. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, what's good for everybody else ought to be good for them, right? Amen. They all, you know, I guarantee you, if you ask them, do you wish your mother would have aborted you? They'd all said, no, I wouldn't be here. Couldn't spend all this money running for president. Let me tell you something. They're sick.
That's right.
Amen. They are sick. Yes. Now, you can say what you want, but as far as I'm concerned, and as far as this word of God is concerned, abortion is murder. Yes. Say that. Will you help me preach this morning? If you got a Bible, raise it high. This book, say this with me, this book says the shedding of innocent blood is murder. How many of you believe that? Amen? So I still got a job after today so far, right? All right. You see, we are experiencing a Holocaust in America. It began January the 22nd, 1973. On the day the Supreme Court ruled on Roe versus Wade, it handed down its infamous decision that unleashed on America a reign of terror like no other that's ever been seen. And since that time, are you ready for this? 60,069,971 abortions have taken place since up to January 22nd, 2018, 45 years later. Do you realize, what time is it? Let's see. It's 11:44. So we've been in church, say, 45 minutes. In that time, over 100 babies have been aborted in the last 45 minutes. It averages out to 152 per hour in 2019. That ought to make you angry. That ought to make you want to pick up a sign and march against them. Amen? But I got some good news. Since January of 2015, are you ready for this? Because of the work of the anti-abortion groups and because of the rising of the church and its promotion of pro-life, abortion is finally on the decrease for the first time since 2015. Amen. It began a downward trend. But abortion still exists. And it's done by and with the sanction of the United States of America. Over 60 million. Keep that in mind. You see, we have pointed the finger at Germany and all the things that went on during World War II with the murder of 6 million Jews. Have you done the math yet? We've murdered 10 times that many in America. Land of the free. Home of the brave. Amen. But what about us? I want to tell you, it's time for us to lift up our voice and cry aloud and spare not. I believe we are guilty in America of shedding innocent blood in our nation. It's not a pretty picture, and I'm not trying to win you over to my side, and I'm not trying to win any special award today. What I'm trying to convey to you today is this. On behalf of the innocent babies that have nobody speaking for them, I'm saying something has got to be done in America and in this country. And I'm just going to tell you, I try to keep politics out of stuff. Living up north, I was a Democrat. I belonged to the Steelworkers Union. I came south, really got on fire for God. And then I noticed that abortion was part of the Democratic Party's platform. Let me tell you something. I don't care if he's a Republican or a Democrat or no crap. You know, God's not a crap. Okay, he's not a Democrat, he's not a Republican, you know, he's not an independent. But can I tell you something? I refuse to support any candidate, no matter what his color is, no matter what his, you know, side of the tracks he's born on. Don't matter if he come up the rough side of the mountain or has been on the mountaintop all of his life. I refuse to support any candidate that supports abortion. How many of you agree with me on that? Amen. Does that make good sense? Abortion is murder. Amen. We've got to get that into our spirit. Amen. We need to understand that America is in trouble. You know, it just didn't start with abortion. It started in 1962 and 1963. They took two things out of school. How many of you know what they are? Prayer and what? Bible reading. Yeah, things that we used to allow in schools, guess what? They took it out. Somebody said, you know, we need Bibles in the prisons. Let me tell you something. Put Bibles back in the school, and you won't have to worry about the prisons as much. Put prayer back in our schools. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And guess what? God will honor that with all his heart. Amen? You see, once this happened with prayer being gone, once they took the Bible out of school and they quit teaching kids, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They teach them everything else. Anything anti-God, they teach them. But can I tell you something? It formed a vacuum in our society. An emptiness is there. Why are so many young people committing suicide today that once had great hope, had once had great promise? It's because they have nothing to believe in anymore. It's time for the church to stand up, get your backbone back in order, and say, enough is enough. Yes. Amen. The devil rushed in to fill the vacuum. Can I tell you something? Things are not going to get better in America until America repents of her sins and returns to God. America needs a healing from the White House to the poorhouse. America needs God again. It's time for preachers and teachers to find their spiritual backbone and stand up and declare that abortion is murder and that it's wrong today. Amen. Think about it. Now, I hope this makes you mad. A doctor in Los Angeles, California. Why not? That wouldn't you expect something like what I'm getting ready to tell you in California? He was a pathologist. Under the law of their county, every baby that was aborted was sent to his pathology lab, and he was to perform an autopsy. And I thought, how can you do that on something that's been crushed to nothing? You know, how can you do that to something that's been pickled? How can you do that to something that's been crushed up, cut up, and everything else? But what he would do, he really didn't do it a whole lot. He put them in a little container, and he put them in a storage unit. How many of you know what a storage unit is? That's that stuff that brings all our supplies from China and Japan, and we got one right on the corner. I need to investigate that because that's not supposed to be there, according to our codes anyway. And so he had 17,000 containers in that container, and he didn't pay rent on it for 6 months. So guess who shows up but the container people? They had no idea what was in it because it was still locked. They took it back to their headquarters, and they cut the lock on it. And when they opened up the door, containers started falling out on top of the workers and opening. They said the smell was so bad that they literally threw up for hours. They couldn't stop. They contacted the authorities of Orange County. And you know what they told them? Abortion is legal. He has done nothing wrong. So you take 17,000 babies, put them in a big old crate, and leave them there for who knows who to find, and you ain't done nothing wrong. I did a little research. In North Carolina, when there is a body, it's to be disposed of properly. If it's not, you face serious fines. And I thought, of course, California leads the way in sending us on a slow road to hell, you know. But think about it. Doctors tell us now that we can detect a heartbeat at 5.5 to 6 weeks. Brain activity can be recorded as early as 8 weeks. And as technology improves, we'll be able to detect them even earlier than that. Many doctors are going on record. Are you ready for this? I love this part. They're no longer telling us that life begins at the heartbeat. They're no longer telling us that life begins when the brain begins to work or the lungs begin to function or the baby begins to move. Many scientists are going on record today saying, are you ready, that life begins at conception. Amen. The moment the egg and the sperm unite, guess what? Life has begun. Amen. I like that kind of thinking. Amen? And so we need to understand that all life comes from God. And it's the work and will of the Holy Spirit. Job said in Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Psalm 104:30 says, "Thou sendest forth my spirit." They are created. You need to realize that Satan is a destroyer. The Bible says that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his business. Amen? When you see an abortion clinic, you need to just mark that thing and say, that's not a house of God. That's a house of the devil. Uh-oh. Amen. That's the devil's business. I want to tell you that the devil's behind every wicked thing that's ever happened on the face of this earth. The mass murders that were perpetrated by Herod in the days of Christ were satanically instigated. When literally thousands of little babies 2 years and under were murdered, it was nothing more than satanically inspired murder. When Hitler looked at the Jewish nation and said, "I've got to destroy them," he knew what he was doing. He was trying to destroy God's people, and he executed more than 6 million Jews. But that didn't count the imperfect people. When he looked upon a person, if they had any kind of deformity, if they had any kind of mental deficiency, he would order them executed because he wanted to create what we call a perfect race. Can I tell you something? There is a perfect race coming one day, but it won't be led by the devil and all his little nymphs. It's going to be headed up by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I get an amen in the house? In the book of Revelations, it says when Satan and his demons are removed from the world, there'll be nothing left to hurt or destroy anything anymore. I thank God that day is coming soon. Amen. Let me continue right here to say that Satan is the enemy of the church because the church stands for everything that is right and holy. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to give you permission to fire me if I ever do this. If I ever allow a Muslim to stand behind this desk and offer up prayers to Allah, you need to escort me right out of that door. But I can promise you, as long as this old boy's in his right mind, it ain't gonna happen. Amen? Amen? The Pope can let all of them in he wants to. Ain't doing it. If you can't see the handwriting on the wall, the Pope is lining himself in allegiance to the Muslims because he knows that his day's coming. Amen? He knows, and many believe that he is a predecessor to the Antichrist. You know what? It don't matter to me who he's a predecessor to. All I know is he's done wrong to his church and to his people, and they find it is an abomination. But they won't speak out. Why? Because he's the Pope. Can I tell you something? He puts his pants on like I do. He puts his shirt on like I do. And if I wore a robe, I'd put it on like he does. But thanks be unto God, we are not the same. I am blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled, on my way to heaven, tongue-talking, child of God. Woo! I didn't know all this was coming out of this. That's all right. Amen. God's a life giver. The devil is a death giver. My life comes through Jesus Christ. Think about it. What if abortion had been legal in the day of Mary and Joseph? Did she not hear from an angel of the Lord? Says, you know, you're going to conceive and it's going to be the Son of God. But what if there was an abortion clinic down the street and Mary starts thinking, Brother Kay, oh, man, what the church mother's going to say about me? Ooh, the church mamas, the neighborhood, they're going to talk junk about me. They want to stone me. They find out I'm pregnant outside of marriage. I think I'll go get an abortion. Guess what? If she had done that, none of us would be saved today. Aren't you glad they didn't do it back then? I'm sure they probably practiced ways according to history. But she didn't even consider that thought. Amen? Think about it. God's a giver of life. And I'm glad I have his life living inside of me. The Bible says something unique. God's not willing that any should perish. I believe that. But that we all can have eternal life. I'm really mad at any law that continues to legalize the murder of the innocent blood. Anybody that condones child abuse is just as sick and evil as that as well. How can we do what we do to children? It's sin. You're sick. But can I tell you something? God's a giver of life and a giver of salvation. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What about the young woman who in a moment is seduced, becomes pregnant? Then those on the outside tell her to get an abortion and move on with life. Yeah, that's right if you haven't solved the thing with that recommendation. You just added to her misery. Jesus is the answer to her problem. Amen. One day I got a call from a young couple in our church in the previous pastorate. Brother Gwynn, can we come in and talk with you? I said, sure. They were active in our youth group as a young couple. They were like 17 and 18 years of age. They sat in my office, and as we were talking, I knew something bad was up. And he looked at me, and he said, well, he said, it's my place to tell you that she's expecting. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. And I said, what are you going to do about it? She said to me, she spoke up, and her family was not churched. His parents were main supporters of our ministry. And I said, what are you going to do? And she says, well, we can sneak off one weekend and I can have an abortion and nobody will ever be the wiser. But we would like your affirmation that that's okay. You come to the wrong person. I looked them in the eye and I said, let me tell you something. You made a mistake. You sinned. I get that. But guess what? My Bible says he is without sin. Let them cast the first stone. I said, you know, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's my recommendation as your pastor. Number one, we find an altar. And in that altar, you rededicate your lives to God and ask God to forgive you. And then we go talk to your parents and tell them the situation. And we go from there. They said, okay, let's go pray right now. They weren't wanting to wait a moment later. So we went to the altar and prayed. And I said, now let's go to your mom and dad's house. And I rode over, followed them over, and we went to the mom and dad's house, walked in. And When they saw me come in with the two, they knew something big time was up. We sat down around the family table, and I said, first of all, we're going to pray. And we had prayer. Everything was good up till then. And I said, Chris and Felicia have something to tell you. And they said, Mom, we got a baby on the way. And the mother and father were like, okay, didn't see that coming. You know, I mean, they were in church, they were involved, and everything was fine. But all of a sudden, she's with child. And the mother said, what are you going to do? Because she knew she was unchurched family. What are you wanting to do? She said, well, we've prayed about it at the church. We've asked God to forgive us of our sin. And we want to do right by this baby. This baby didn't ask for this. I'm like, yeah, to hell. And the mother says, well, you know, are you going to move in with us? And she said, if you move in with us, you got to get married. And the girl says, well, that's the plan. We're going to get married and in time, and everything will go forward, and we're going to put this behind us. We're going to raise her or him in a house of God. Amen. And I thought, that's cool. They took a stand at 18 and 17. And so a few months later went by, and we had a wedding. I officiated it. And it was kind of humorous, kind of sad, though, too. You can see some of the little old ladies in the church. She's pregnant. She's pregnant. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, she is. Get over yourself. You know, and they got married. Baby came out, beautiful baby girl. And the neat thing was, are you ready for this? Many years later, he came to me and he said, thank you. And I said, for what? He said, not kicking us, number one, out of the church and not telling us it was okay to abort our baby. And I said, cool. Today, they are now the pastors, or the youth pastors, of the largest Pentecostal church in Columbus County. Their daughter's active in the church. They have several children since then. And, you know, I thank God for that. Amen. Choir would have one less student had they done what people recommended. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. I know it's not a popular thing. But you know why Herod killed all those babies when Christ was born? He wanted to get Jesus. He asked them, he said, how long did this thing appear to you? Well, it's been in the last 2 years. It took us 2 years to get here. And so what's he do? Sends out a decree, kill every child under the age of two. Yeah. Think about it. Happened in Moses' day in Egypt. They were killing children like crazy. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying this. In every instance, God always sent a man. 60 million plus babies aborted in the last 45 years, not counting since January of last year to this year. Think about this. I believe with all my heart, God's getting ready to send a man.
Amen. Amen.
To shut it down once and for all. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As the musicians come, I'm going to say to you young people, you might get in a situation where sin gets in your life and you do something wrong. All you guys, listen. Women are a precious commodity, but you don't own them. Girls, you have a precious commodity of who you are. Do never ever believe a lie of a boy when you are outside of marriage that he loves you, and just, you know, that if you love him, you'll do such and such. I know that's pretty plain talk, but you know what? That's what they need to hear. It blew my mind the other day, the debate on abortion. And Sister Lisa, this crazy person stood on TV and said in New York that there are more abortions of black babies than there are birth. I'm like, my God, that's genocide of that race in that city. And the government's proud of it. They boast of it. They're sick. Why has this happened? Yeah. But you know what I believe? The devil knows the book better than any of us. And he knows that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back and straighten all this mess out. And I really believe he's dumb enough not to get it. It came the first time by a virgin. He doesn't realize the next time he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to take us out of this mess. I believe he feels an urgency to abort every child. Because if he can take out a child, he might be taking out another preacher. He might be taking out another D.L. Moody or Spurgeon or Jernigan. He might be taking out a great choir director or a great praise leader or a great musician. Come on now. We don't know. But can I tell you something? God had a plan for them. You realize, Elias, I'm going to pick on you since our conversation this morning, that when you were created, that when your mom, your dad got together and you were created, guess what? God knew you. You know that, don't you? You've learned that all your life. God knew him. And can I tell you something? God has a plan for him. Amen. I believe that with all my heart.